Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions we'll be taking this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am still bubbling over with joy because we're still in the book of Psalms. And I love this book. Now, we know that this study will expose to us the most beautiful verses that are written in the Bible, I think. And it is worthy to note that King David did not write all of these Psalms. He only wrote 73 of the 150 that are in our Bible, our canon. 12 were written by Asaph. 2 were written or at least ascribed to King Solomon. 1 was written by Moses. 1 was written by Ethan. And 12 were written by the sons of Korah. Now, I highly suggest that as we study, you have your Bible sources open, laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or even regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, as I like to consider it, during which time you may ask questions or comment or even inquire if you like. For the host of the program has set up a chat room that you can go in and dialogue with me almost virtually on prime time. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this moment, as I always do, to thank those of you who have taken time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. So I thank you so very much. Now, as our theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ said, blessed are the poor in spirit, meaning the lowly, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven and of God and of paradise. That's taken from Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Now, the blessing is basically our guarantee that if we are poor in spirit, we shall receive as our reward the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said again, blessed are they that mourn, meaning they that cry out for God's help genuinely, for they shall be comforted. That's taken from Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. And again, the blessing is the guarantee. And if you are mourning accordingly, you shall receive comfort. Jesus said again, blessed are the meek, meaning those who for God's sake are timid, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God, meaning the one identified in the book of Revelation chapter 21. Not this physical earth, but the spiritual earth. The blessing again is a guarantee that if you're meek, you shall inherit paradise. Now the question again, for this hour, are you, my precious brothers and sisters, standing on God's promises? Now, let's get to the study. And before we turn the page to the chapter and verse, I want to remind you, as I do again, constantly. I know that you know this, but it's good to keep us in remembrance. And that is how Peter put it in 1 Peter in one of his writings, that the Bible is written in code, meaning it's in mysteries, in secrets, parables, prophecies, proverbs, paradoxes, riddles, and symbols. And the only way to break the code, my precious brothers and sisters, is through study and learning. All right, so let's get to study and learning. Okay, let us now turn with me, if you will, to the book of Psalms. We're going to be looking first at Psalms 111, and we're going to be reading verse 2 through 7. Now, as I always remind you again, there are 150 chapters in the book of Psalms, and I've written 232 instructions for this study. We're on instruction number 154. And the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you is, more works of God identified. Now we know that God did all of his works in those 6 days that are identified in the book of Genesis. Now, actual moments, minutes, seconds, hours, days, we really don't know scientifically, but we take for spiritual granted that the number is 7 or 6. And in those 6 days, we know God did all of his work creating the heavens and the earth. This is what David rehearsed to Israel in Psalms 111, verse 2 through 7 about it. David said, the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. And of course, we know that that's exactly what we do academically and scientifically, is go into the wonders of the world and try to figure out how they were created and how long they had been created and how they came to pass. Anyway, verse 3 says, his work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. God is glorified in everything that he has done. Keep that in mind, my precious brothers and sisters. And this is what David is exemplifying to Israel in this Psalms 111. Verse 4 says, he has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. And that is what we should expect, that we will inherit that which has been put in place for us to enjoy if we keep his covenant. In fact, if it hadn't been for Adam and Eve, we wouldn't have had to worry about a covenant. It would have been ours just free gratis, because God tells us that in Genesis chapter 1. Verse 7 completes the thought by saying, the works of his hand are verity and judgment. All of his commandments are sure. The works of God's hands are righteousness and judgment. My precious brothers and sisters, we are in between those parameters, God's righteousness that endures forever and God's judgment that endures forever. Okay, now let's go to our New Testament complement and see how it compares and agrees with what we just read. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 34, and we're going to look at verse 36 through 40. Matthew chapter 34, or Matthew chapter 34, No, I correct myself. Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to look at verse 34 through 36 and verse 40. And this is what Jesus said, and this is what is more, I would say, significant to us today than what David taught Israel. This is what Jesus had to say about God's work. He said, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. A stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer and say unto the Lord, When saw thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? And Jesus said, And the king answered and said unto them, Verily unto thee, and as much as ye have done it unto the one that is least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And verse 40 completes the thought when it says that. And that's the key. Now what we're going to do is we're going to have a break, and then we'll finish the instruction.
The pain of potential. It's not painful to not be what I don't have the potential to be. But what is painful is to know that I have the potential to be loyal enough to die for you, but I'm not ready for it. And the Lord told me if I preach this message, I would speak directly to somebody who all your life they talked about how gifted you were and how talented you were and how much potential you had, and yet you've never been able to get it together. You got the raw skills to be great. You got the skills to be an entrepreneur. You have the skills to be a great preacher. You have the skills to be a great wife. You have the skill to be a great husband. But all of that talent put together has not gotten you there. And now you're bitter. Not because the devil has tormented you. You are bitter because your potentials have given you pain. Because you say, by now, I should be further than this. By now, I should be better than this. By now, I thought I would have my degree. By now, I thought I would be married. By now, I thought I would own my own place. And you do have the potential.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us continue and complete the instruction number 154. We read about what Jesus had to say about God's works identified and what Jesus is telling us in Matthew chapter 25, verse 34 through 36 and verse 40 is that the works that we are supposed to be doing for the Lord is what is going to magnify him, and it's going to identify our obedience to him. And that's what that is telling us. When at the end of our doing the works that Jesus purported for us to do, we will be granted heaven. And that's the key. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God's work set in place from the very foundation of the world is still being unfolding to us, meaning part of what God wants us to do, labor with love in his vineyard, become the fisher of men, man dress the garden. Part of that work that he has instilled in us is to reciprocate of what he created us to do for him. And that is what Jesus has brought to mind in Matthew 25. That's what I want you to understand from the instruction or the spiritual point that's being made for us in that instruction. Let's go to the next instruction, 155. We're going to go back and we're going to look at Psalms 111 again. And this time we're only going to look at one verse, verse 10. And this is the instruction that I want you to take from verse 10. And this is significant. The instruction is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. My precious brothers and sisters, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And this is what Psalms 110 or 111 verse 10 says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Remember that you're going to have a good understanding of what to do and not to do if you fear God and keep his commandments. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's keeping his commandment to fear him. If you fear him, you will not sin against him, or your sins will be minimized and your repentance will be increased. And that is the key for how we respond to the fear of the Lord. Now, this is what Luke, and we're going to go to the Gospel of Luke. Come with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 12, and we're going to look at verse 1 through 5. Luke chapter 12, verse 1 through 5, and this is how Jesus put it, and it connects the dot. Jesus says, or it says in chapter 12 of Luke, 1 through 5, in the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, nothing hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetop. Listen, my brothers and sisters, you cannot hide from God. This is why the fear is so significant. This is what Jesus concluded. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and afterwards have no more they can do, but will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto thee, fear him. Man cannot kill the soul. God can kill both body and soul. And that's the key. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the fear of God is mandatory for us to comply with in order to be saved. The fear of man is not going to save us. It's the fear of God. That's what I want you to get from this instruction. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Let's go to instruction number 156, and we're going to go to Psalms 112 this time. We're going to look at verse 1 through 3 in Psalms 112, and this is, again, the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and delighteth greatly in his commandments. Remember, we just went and rehearsed that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the man that keeps his commandments will attain it. That is, again, significant. Or I should say to keep it verbatim, blessed is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all those that keep his commandments. So now we're going to look at that delight in his commandments, how significant that is in the fear of him. Verse 1 through 3, Psalms 112 says this, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Listen, my brothers and sisters, this is it, what you receive. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. That means you're planting and watering for the Lord. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. The righteous, remember the psalmist said in another writing that he was young and then he became old and he never saw the righteous forsaken. Verse 3 says, wealth and riches shall be in his house and his righteousness endureth forever. That wealth and riches, my brothers and sisters, will be providence. Verse 3, that's completing the thought. Okay, let's go now to the New Testament complement, and we're going to see how the book of Revelations gives us a better understanding of what it means to us today. Turn your Bibles, if you will, and sources to Revelations chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 10 and 11. And this is what the Spirit is saying to the church. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulations 10 days. But be faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Remember, we told, and Jesus mentioned in the last instruction, that you fear God, because he kills the body and the soul. Man cannot give you the second death. God can. But God says, because of the fear of the Lord and keeping his commandments, that if you be faithful unto death, you will receive a crown of life. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That perfect love casts out fear. So obeying God's commandments is that tool we use to accomplish it. The love that we have. And that is identified when Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That is key, my precious brothers and sisters. That's what I want you to understand from this particular instruction. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction 157. Turn back with me, Will, if you will. We're going to get another instruction out of Psalms 112, verse 9 through verse 4 through 9. And before we go into the instruction, let's take another break.
The word today is fellowship. Hi, John Maxwell here. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. When I think of the word fellowship, I think of relationships. I think of coming together. I think of community. It's a fact that we can do more together, but it's also a fact that we can be more together. And what I mean by that is that other people around us, when we have community with them, when we have fellowship with them, when we have relationship with them, they add to us. You see, I am not complete in myself. I'm born to be my brother's keeper. You're born to help me. We're born to help one another. And there's something beautiful about the fact that when we recognize that and realize that we're not here to just to compete with others, we're here to complete or complement others, that really makes fellowship work. So I hope you have some friends, some people around you that when you're with them, they just help you to not only do more, but to be more. They add value to you. Because what fellowship is basically saying, I'm better with you than without you. That's true. Welcome today. I'm glad you're with us on Minute with Maxwell.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us continue with instruction number 157. We're in, again, Psalms 112, verse 4 through 9. And what I want you to keep in mind is this instruction as I read the verses to you, a sign of the upright. Now, there are many indicators, and we should pay attention to what is identified, you might say, the ABCs of our Christianity. And one of the signs of the upright is what David is getting ready to rehearse to Israel. And this is what I'm going to read to you. Psalms 112, verse 4 through 9. And this is what it says. Unto the upright, there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He had dispersed. He had given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. So David is telling Israel that there are several signs, and he gives them in this text, how not only their righteousness is indicated or identified, but God rewards them for the application of that. Now we're going to go to James. We're going to go to our New Testament complement. Turn with me, if you will, to James chapter 3, verse 18. James chapter 3, verse 18. And this is what James tells us, and this is one of the signs of being righteous. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. My precious brothers and sisters, peace is critical in our lives. We understand that Jesus, he said in his writings, peace be still. My peace I give unto you. My peace I give to you, not as the world giveth, do I give to you. So let your hearts be not troubled. We know that peace is one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and that's how significant that fruit of righteousness is. If nothing else, we want to have the sign of peace as part of our righteousness that shows. Now what we're going to do, I want you to, this is the spiritual intent of this instruction. This is what it should mean to you spiritually in your life. That we must, or at least learn and know the signs of righteousness to keep us and get us through this mess of life, this side of eternity. My brothers and sisters, from Genesis through Revelations, there are identifiers that tell us about the righteous. And though many are the afflictions of the righteous, as the psalmist says, God will deliver him out of them all. And that is so significant that even though we stumble and fall, maintain your uprightness. Maintain those things that please God, and you will overcome and be successful. Let's go to the next instruction, instruction number 158. We're going to go now to Psalms 113. We're going to go to Psalms 113, and we're going to look at verse 2 and 3, just two verses, and we are going to take, or I want you to pay attention to this particular instruction as I read the two verses to you. This is the instruction. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, that is so critical. We'll get to another psalm where it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and everything within me. Bless his holy name. It is part of our worship in spirit and in truth. Remember, Jesus told us in the Gospels that God wants true worshipers, and the true worshipers worship God in spirit and in truth. And part of that is blessing the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. This is what David rehearsed to Israel about that. Psalms 113, verse 2 and verse 3. David says, blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same. The Lord's name is to be praised. My brothers and sisters, that is so critical to understand and respond to, that God, his name, is to be honored throughout eternity. And of course, we know that there are several identifications that we've assigned or that Israel assigned to God as a name. But for the most part, we know him as Jehovah God. So this side of eternity, we can use Jehovah as the name that we raise up in prayer. And there are many songs with Jehovah identified as such. And that should be significant to us. Now, let us go to the New Testament complement. We're going to go to Ephesians, verse 1, and we're going to look at our chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 22-23, and this is how Paul gave the same type of instruction to the Ephesians, God's name. This is what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22-23, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And all had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all, that every name that is named, not only in heaven or in this earth, in this world, but in the next, is to be above all. That's who we praise. So we know that God gave us instruction in the New Testament. This is my beloved son in whom I well pleased. Hear ye him. And we know that the angel Gabriel told the father of Jesus, the segregate father, meaning the physical man that was responsible for Jesus' upbringing, Joseph, to name Jesus as he is named, Jesus. Okay. And this is what it should mean now to us spiritually in our lives, that blessings from God are our advantages in this world to receive, to help us to get through the afflictions that the flesh is subjecting us to. So in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every mouth shall confess. That is critical. When we use Jesus' name, whatever you do, Paul taught in his letters, in thought, word, and deed, you do it all in the name of Jesus the Christ. That's what I want you to get from this instruction, my brothers and sisters. Bless his holy name. Now let's go to the next instruction. Next instruction is 159. We're going to go now to Psalms 114. Turn your Bible sources with me to 114. We're going to read verse 1 through 8, verses 1 through 8. And what I want you to do as I read the instruction to you, keep that in mind as I read the verses to you. Keep in mind this instruction. God's prevalence. God is omnipotent. God is omniscient. God is all in all. The Bible tells us that. He prevails over all things. This is how David is rehearsing it to the Israelites, showing God's prevalence over all things. And it's verse 1 through 8, and it's Psalms 114. Hold on to that, make a mark of it, and then when we come back from the break, we will continue.
So a lot of times we get angry at our children for not being what we didn't model. Now, there were some things I couldn't model as a father. When Dexter got ready to go out for football, I never was into sports. So I remember calling Dion and saying, listen, he's going out for sports, football, and that's not my thing, so come down here and help me. I showed up at the games. I was there. I might have just got off a plane, but I was there at the games. But so far as helping him with his technique and how he needed to get down and how he needed, I wasn't the person to do that. What am I saying? You don't have to have everything to give what you've got. And if you didn't have a father, there are surrogate relationships that will supplement what you didn't get. But everybody in here needs a model. So stop using not having a father as an excuse for a lifetime of confusion. Because over the course of your life, there ought to be a Dion or somebody that you can get on the phone and call and say, I'm not good at this, and then model that and get better. The point is, you can't be it by yourself. I got enough to fight when I go out.
Listen.
I don't want to fight when I'm home.
No.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here we go. We're going to see how David rehearsed to Solomon God's prevalence, and this is what David said in 114, Psalms 114, 1 through 8. He said, when Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams, and the little hills like lambs. Ail thee, O thou sea, that thou fleetest, thou Jordan, that thou was driven back. Ye mountains, that ye skipped like rams, and ye little hills like lambs. Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water, the flint into a fountain of waters. David is rehearsing for Israel the prevalence of God, how he showed them time and time again that he would prevail over all. Now we're going to go to our New Testament compliment. Turn with me, if you will, your Bible compliments or your Bible sources to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to look at verse 24 through 28. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. Through 28. And again, Paul is rehearsing to the Corinthians about the prevalence of God, even over Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, this is significant. This is showing God's preeminence, or as I put in the instruction, his prevalence. This is what it says. Then cometh the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God, meaning Jesus, to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. When the end comes, when Jesus, again, in the book of Revelation, says, it is done. Now, remember, a lot of us understand and remember from studying that Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. And that meant that he had completed the assignment to give us redemption, but it hadn't been done until he returns and takes us with him to salvation. So that is what he's speaking of, what Paul is speaking of and referring to here. Verse 25 says, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And we know that in the book of Revelations, it says that the great white throne of judgment, that death and hell is going to be thrown in the lake of fire. And that is the conclusion of the enemies that were against man and Jesus. Verse 27 says, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is expected, or he is accepted when did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, he shall, the Son, also himself be subjected unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And we know that in the end, God is the tabernacle with man. So God is preeminent. He is prevalent under all. And that's how Paul rehearsed it to the Corinthians. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God's tabernacle is in man. And that's the end result to our existence. God is our prevalence. Amen. And that's what I want you to get from this, that God is number one. Okay. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction number 160, and we're going to look at we'll look at Psalms 115 this time. And we're going to take one instruction out of 115, verse 4 through 8. Verse 115, verse 4 through 8. And this is the instruction I want you to keep in mind, my precious brothers and sisters, as I read the text to you. The futileness of idols. Remember what Solomon said, vanity of vanity, all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. This is where David rehearses to Israel the futility, the vanity, if you will, of idols in Psalms 115, verse 4 through 8. And this is what David says. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Ears, they have not, but they see not also. They have ears. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. They walk not, neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. And so that trust is futile. Remember God said, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. One of those vain connotations or definitions is futility or meaningless or worthless or useless. And that is what idols are. God also said that thou shalt, he said that those who thou shalt not bow down and worship before them. Thou shalt not make any graven images. All of this is identifying the law of God against idols. And that is what Psalms 115 is sort of saying in this rehearsal. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse 19 through 23. And this is how Paul rehearses the saying to the Romans to identify the futileness of idols. And Paul even says that we have no excuse because of it, and that we will receive our condemnation because of it. And this is what Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 19 through 23. Paul says, Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God had showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse. Because of that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and to creeping things. So Paul is condemning the Romans. He's also giving that condemnation to all the rest of us even today, that because of the idols that we put in front of God, that it is futile for us to do that, for it is going to cause us to lose our salvation. And the only reason that Jesus came to this earth was to seek and to save that which is lost. And that is us, my brothers and sisters. So if we are going to choose another, that would be an idol, is going to cause us condemnation and lose our salvation. verse. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God is spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth, for that is significant. But we have to understand that even spiritual things that we put before God, meaning our vanity, things that are not physical, like self-pride or self-righteousness, there are a lot of things that we can use or as an idol that God will not accept, because God said, thou shalt love me with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We must make sure that we put nothing in front of God. That is key, and that's what I want you to understand from the reading of this particular instruction. Now, let's take our final break of the evening before we continue.
Man hit a target he could not see. That's a pretty good question. Here's another one. How can you hit a target you do not have? Have you got one? Are you a meaningful specific, or are you a wandering generality? People today complain of lack of time. It's not lack of time that's the problem, it's the lack of direction. Are you a wandering generality, or are you a meaningful specific? Are you going to work tomorrow because that's what you did yesterday? If that's the reason you're going tomorrow, you won't be as good tomorrow as you were yesterday, because you're 2 days older and no closer to the goal you do not have. Now, I got sense enough to know that some of those airplanes are coming down faster than they're going up. It's dangerous for that plane to fly. You see in the newspapers where the ships leave the harbor and you see where some of them sink. It's dangerous for the ships to be on the ocean. And yet the engineers tell me that it's more dangerous for that plane to stay on the ground. That it will rust out faster than it will wear out up into the heavens. They tell me that that ship will collect more barnacles in the harbor and become unseaworthy faster than it will sailing the high seas. Besides, planes are built for flying. Ships are built for sailing. Houses are built for living. And man, too, was built for purpose. He was designed for accomplishment. He's engineered for success. He's endowed with the seeds of greatness. And the greatest danger we as human beings have is when we do not do anything at all.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go to the next instruction. We're on instruction number 161, and we're going to go and take another instruction out of Psalms 115. We're going to be looking at verses 9 through 13 in Psalms 115. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Our help and shield. Now, we know that in a future time, we're going to learn about that Jesus Christ, or at least the Messiah, is going to be our help and shield and buckler, as it is put in the psalm, our shield and buckler. So this is what David rehearsed to Israel at this time in Psalms 115, 9, verse 13, about our help and shield. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. Now, we know that God proved himself more especially in the wilderness with those Israelites that were cantankerous. He proved to them time and time again as he brought them out of the land of Egypt in captivity that if they would trust in him, that he would help them. In fact, we know that one of the final helps that God gave Israel was standing at the Red Sea when he had Moses part the sea. And Moses said, stand still and see the hand of the Lord, the salvation of God. And so time and time again, Israel were shown that God is their help and shield. Now let's go to the New Testament complement, and we're going to see how Luke identifies this. Jesus speaking about it in Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. And this is in one verse that encapsulates all of what we need to get from God for help. Jesus told us, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Again, Jesus came, as I mentioned before, to seek and to save that which is lost. He gave us so many different examples of what the kingdom of God is like, what the kingdom of heaven is like. In fact, I'll tell you that Paul said it well in Romans chapter 14 when he instructed us, or he instructed the Romans that the kingdom of God is not food and drink. That means it's not flesh and blood. It's not physical. But it is righteousness. It is peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he in these things serve Christ is not only acceptable to God, but approved of by man. So we can see that that help and shield, if we comply and or if we apply the righteousness that Paul is talking about, the peace that Paul is talking about, the joy in the Holy Ghost, that we're going to get sanction not only from God, even man will respond to it, and we will be serving Jesus Christ. That is significant. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the Lord is worthy to his trust. He said he was surety. He said he will surely feed his flock if they trusted him. And that is so significant throughout the Bible. Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it's impossible to please God without faith. That's your trust, because he that believeth in God, God will reward him according to that trust. And that is so significant, my brothers and sisters, and that is where our help comes from and our shield. Remember the armors of God? One of the armors of God is the shield of faith. That faith is critical to our salvation. Okay, that's what I want you to get out of this instruction. Now we're going to go to the next instruction, instruction 162. And this is what I want you to do. We're going to turn to Psalms 116. We're going to look at verse 15 through 17. Psalms 116, verse 15 through 17. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. This is significant. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. My brothers and sisters, that is so important that you be one of the sheep of God's sheepfold. then you will be precious in his eyes. And your death is going to culminate into eternal life, because we know that it is given for man once to die and then the judgment. And after the judgment, it may be in the twinkling of an eye that we will receive our reward. We will receive salvation. That's significant. Now, this is how David rehearsed it to Israel in Psalms 116, verse 15 through 17. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. That is where we are showing God that we acknowledge his significance in our lives, that we call upon his name, and we do it with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And that is giving thanks for what he has done for us in our lives. Now let's go to the New Testament compliment, and we're going to first look at Revelations 2, verse 10. And this is what Revelations chapter 2, verse 10 tells us. And again, this is in significance to being precious in God's eyes, that we fear him. So the Spirit to the church says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer, those physical things. You fear the Lord, then you will be precious in his eyes. Behold, the devil shall come and cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But listen, my precious brothers and sisters, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. That is where we find our preciousness in our faith, in our adoration to God. And we go on now to Revelation chapter 14 to even add more significance to this thought. Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. This is what is said. Listen, my brothers and sisters. And I heard the voice from heaven saying unto me, write, this is the blessing. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. My precious brothers and sisters, that is how you are precious in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. Now this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that obedience to God to the end of our life is our preciousness in the eyes of everlasting God. And that is what I want you to get from this instruction, to be obedient, and you will be precious in the eyes of the Lord. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, that completes the lesson for this evening. And as we are about to sign off, the host and I want to thank you and bless you for your participation and encouragement. Good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Please join us every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I hope you were blessed by our program. Good night.